Reading from Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. The angels are reminding Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary, the mother of James, and another unnamed woman at the now empty tomb about what Jesus foretold in Luke chapter 9, verse 22. During this Easter weekend, we reflect about Jesus on the cross, his crucifixion, his blood that washes our souls, and today his rising from the tomb to be seated at the right hand of Father God as our advocate. John chapter 19, verse 30 tells us, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." But it is not the end for us as believers. As the song by the Carpenters once said, "We've only just begun." Over this weekend, I think about something I heard talk show host Bill Maher once say. Maher asked aloud whether Christians think that when Christ comes back, he would be happy to see all those images of him nailed to the cross around their necks. Well, yes, Jesus would. It shows how that person is carrying on the work of Jesus through their faith. Jesus teaches in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, what is that work that we are to do as Christians? Jesus gives us that assignment through, of course, the Great Commission. You read that in Mark chapter 16, where Jesus tells us to go into the world and proclaim the gospel with faith and confidence. You might be saying that, "Okay, I read my Bible. I pray, certainly do that. I go to church, sing the songs, listen to the preacher." But that whole thing about going out into the world proclaiming the gospel, I'm not up to that level. Yes, yes you are. Jesus makes this possible through what he asked God for in prayer. Let's go to John chapter 17. This is the longest prayer by Jesus in the Bible, spoken just before his arrest, which led to, of course, his crucifixion, followed by his resurrection, and it's a prayer that's about you. You heard that correctly. Jesus prays for you. And it's certainly better for you to spend time absorbing the power of this prayer that Jesus prays for you, rather than me reading the entire prayer to you, but let me just entice you a bit with a few of the verses. There's what Jesus says in verse 8, "For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Let's move forward to verse 11. "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." Jesus asked Father God for this in verse 15. "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." Reading from verse 22, "And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one." And verse 26, "And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." So what more is needed? Your action. This is what we learn in James chapter 1, verse 25. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Today in this Easter, part of the celebration will include, of course, a large amount of chocolate and other candy, made especially for this day. Today that candy was a valuable piece of merchandise for the store that stocked it. Tomorrow, it'll be worth only about half as much. The same is true about your place as a believer. Sit on the sidelines, only watch as the rapture approaches, takes place, the tribulation begins, and your eternity will certainly decrease in value in many spiritual ways. Instead, Let us all rejoice, for he is risen.